For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The vibes are great. Last year's team is an equivalent to your first girlfriend. You never forget your first. You know what I mean? It's your first time doing everything. You know what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about. You're in your bedroom alone. You're fantasizing about things. You're looking at Apollonia videos. You're like, gosh, why do I feel this way?
Next thing you know.
It's just, it's disappointing for this team. Like, we're shooting ourselves in the foot so many fucking times in these games. And it's so frustrating. And I knew when Sabonis turned that ball or, you know, threw that pass, I said, they just lost the game. That game's over.
I think I've talked to a lot of people, and we've said that we shouldn't have to rely on a last-minute call from a ref to win our game. But God, does it suck when it doesn't go our way. And then we're going to get the two-minute report tomorrow. It's going to tell everyone what we as Kings fans already know and just piss us off again when most of us have already gone through our five stages of grief the night prior.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daly, joined by his co-pilots, Liz and Naima. How are you guys?
What's up, y'all?
What's up?
All right. First quarter, shout out to Keon disrupting Grayson Allen's transition layup, which he didn't make. HB hit a three, then got a hard-earned and one. Fox makes a midi to end the quarter. Kings up 27-22. Second quarter, Keegan goes off. He hits a midi, a three, and then a running hook. Domas punches in a transition dunk. Keegan bangs in another three to end the half. Kings up 54-45. Liz and Naima.
I mean, it's the same spiel every night. Usually we have a good first half. We're doing good things. We're up at the half. And then we all know how the second half goes. So, I mean, it's literally like I put in a fucking tape and I just keep rewinding it. And it's the fucking same shit that continues to happen. We shoot ourselves in the foot at the end of the game. Like, we had four turnovers at the half, four, which is incredible. And we caused 16 turnovers against the Suns. We were being aggressive. We're moving the ball around. Guys were getting great looks. We were doing good things in the first half. And then, yeah, like I said, we all know how the second half goes. So yeah, it just disappointing. Just disappointing.
Yeah, like the one thing about I think the difference between the first and second half is like we were aggressive going to the rim, whereas in the second half we started chucking threes again, which is never a good sign. I felt it coming. I'm like, we're gonna keep chucking threes. We're just gonna keep missing, and I just don't understand. I wish we attacked the rim more. It's just hard to talk about this game without like mentioning the outcome in the end, because it, like Liz said, it was just the same game played over and over again. And Malik being out, like, if Monty doesn't do everything in his power to keep Malik, like, I don't know what to tell him, because it just shows how important he is for the team, not only in scoring, but like energy wise and just bringing a spark off the bench, like Daly were mentioning earlier, only 7 points off the bench. Like, that's just brutal. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's literally like Groundhog Day. It's ridiculous. Liz is getting me weak with her VHS tape line. It's literally on a loop. I want this to end. I'm sorry. It's like, you know, and I'm not even like, oh, I hate the team or anything. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying. Moving forward. Third quarter. Suns make a run and cut the lead to 6. De'Aaron goes Fox, Psycho 1000. He hits a floater, a midi, then punches in a 3. Kings up 85-78. Fourth quarter. Suns tie the game. What's fucking new? Fox drives to the rim, kicks out to Keegan for a 3. I posted that play. I love that. Fox does that almost every game. It's a beautiful thing. His passing's really underrated. I really feel that way. HB makes a timely putback. Bradley Beal catches Fox off guard, gets a steal, and the layup. Suns up 108-107, 8 seconds to go. Hot garbage upon hot, steamy garbage. Suns hold on for the win. Unicorns die. Rainbows disappear. Yeah. Liz and Naima, thoughts?
I don't even want to talk about what happened in that second half. Those last 2 minutes were just so brutal to watch. Because it's like, why are Domas and Fox doing, like, why are they playing? I remember it was Mark and Katie on the call, I believe, and they were just like, why are you being so careless with the ball when, like, it's only a 2-possession game and, you know, you got to be more careful with the ball and everything. Because that was honestly the game right there, like, turning over the ball when you could have possibly made it a 6 or 7 point game. And then it becomes a 2-point game. And did the Kings even score after that? I don't even think they scored. So it was brutal. And like we keep saying, like, it's the same thing over and over again. Like, there's a difference of losing the game, like losing it by 1 point and going like, man, we put in such an effort. But it was just like self-inflicted wounds in the end. Like, it just very much self-inflicted. We just didn't take care of the ball. We fouled. Like, I some of the foul calls were like iffy, like throughout the game. But those at the end, those were just fouls and very dumb fouls. And I just wish, I don't know, Fox was more aware with the fact that he got triple teamed. Like, I feel like he should have known he was going to be triple teamed like that, because I mean, he's Fox, and everybody knows in that arena that the ball is going to get to Fox. So yeah, just another brutal loss.
I mean, it's 107 to 103 with 1 minute and 4 seconds to go. Your most consistent and, you know, one of the best players on this team, for whatever fucking reason, decides to make that pass to Fox. It is absolutely unacceptable for him to do that. You cannot make that pass in that space with a guy like Bradley Beal. You cannot. I'm sorry. Like, Sabonis, you fucked up, because there's literally no one behind. His arm is in the passing lane. There's absolutely no reason to force that pass when you have that much time on the clock. There's just no other reason. Your other guard needs to get the fuck up there and get the fucking ball. Or someone else needs to let Fox go off ball. Like, I just don't understand the decision making or the head thinking in that moment right there. That is, because you could have potentially gone up 6 or 7 points with under a minute left and made it really, really hard on that Suns team. Instead, you made it really, really easy. You gave him a nice free 2 points there, and then you foul them, so then they're in the bonus. You give them another fucking 2 points to tie up the game, and you didn't score after that. I mean, it's just self. I mean, they took care of the ball. They only turned the ball over 7 fucking times tonight, but you made a couple costly ones there at the end. And again, I just don't know. I love Sabonis, I really do, but you cannot make that pass in that moment. You just cannot. It is just
unacceptable to do that. So again, they've controlled their own destiny. They've lost, I believe, like the last like four. I mean, we have like one win out of like the last six, I think. So we're 3-7 since Malik's went out. I mean, obviously we need help. And in that situation, you know, Fox is getting the ball. So they're going to swarm the shit out of him. And it's like, for him to put the ball on the floor in that situation, his ball handling skills, I'm just going to be honest, this season has been not that great. He's been getting picked off a lot this season. And I love Fox, but it's just, it's disappointing for this team. Like, we're shooting ourselves in the foot so many fucking times in these games, and it's so frustrating. And I knew when Sabonis turned that ball, or, you know, threw that pass, I said, they just lost the game. That game's over. Like, you cannot make that pass in that time. You just cannot. So another frustrating loss. I mean, fucking win on Sunday, I guess, and see how everything else plays out. But they've put themselves in this position, so if they don't make the playoffs, the only people that they can blame is themselves, because they've been giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to win games, and they just haven't done it. Like, outside, you could have won in OKC. You could have won in New York. You could have won. Like,
they could be a 51 win team, honestly.
Easily, easily. So, they could have more wins than they did last season, and they just have shit the fucking bed. And you cannot rely on Fox to have the, you know, games that he did last year, because fourth quarter Fox last year, I mean, that shit was special. But we can't rely on that to continue happening. So someone else has had to step up, and just unfortunately with Malik going down, that really hurt. But I mean, it's just a lot of these losses, and it's not even the losses to the bad teams. It's a lot of losses to some of these good teams where we've had the chance to beat them, and we've just, you know, the coaches have been outsmarted, the players have been outsmarted, and we just fumble it at the end. So it's just, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating, because this season, this team, you know what I mean? Like, we know what this team is, and this team, you know, they're not obviously great, but they're not bad either. But just with the way it's ending, it just is like, man, you guys are just shooting yourselves in the foot. So again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. And Liz, you being a Raider fan, and I know you pay attention to your division, go ahead and say it. You know what this team is, right? The Kings have chargered all year, and me being one of the few Charger fans in the fan base, this is what it is. It's like, is Coach Staley coaching this team? It's fucking ridiculous. So yeah, another game where they chargered, and I'm very disappointed. And yeah, I'm glad you brought up Malik Monk. It is what it is. We are down a star, and this is what happens. And this is why teams in the NBA, they have these pile-on teams, and they acquire stars. Because you never know, when one goes down, it's still cool to have two stars. It's like the Suns. It's like they had to get Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal didn't even play most of the year, but they still had Book and KD to keep them afloat. And it's like, what do we have? We have literally two stars. And by stars, I mean people who could self-create and create their own shot and go off and be super ignitable. And that would be Fox and Monk. And so when Monk goes, what's left? We have Fox. You know what I mean? We need another self-creator that could go off. It is what it is. Keith, how are you?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not trying to be like the jokester in the chat tonight, but I just want to say, as a Chargers fan, you don't have to worry about that now, because you've got the greatest college football coach from last year, Jim Harbaugh, from the greatest university.
Who got it better than us? Who got it better than us?
Nobody now. So, okay, listen, I'm going to be that dude now. And listen, everyone's upset tonight, like they were the night before and the night before that, and seemingly like the last 15 nights, it seems like, with this team. Okay, I can understand that. Totally understand that. Totally get that. Why are we upset? Because we are comparing this team, which obviously is not the same team, to last year's team. And I got to be honest, like last year's team, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out last year's team was way hungrier. I think way more energetic on defense. And obviously the main thing that separated them was that they found a way to win games that maybe they should have either had no business winning or just for whatever reason, they gutted it out. They got the job done. Okay, I can understand that. It feels like from my point of view, and I'm not going to say that I am the most knowledgeable person about basketball. That's the furthest thing from the truth. I'm sure there's a lot more knowledgeable people about basketball in this chat right now than me. That's being honest. But it seems like to me, ever since, and not saying it's his fault, but ever since I think it was game four when Barnes missed the shot at the end that could have won the game, it's not his fault. The whole team lost. But ever since that game, it has just felt like aside from the Herculean effort they pulled off in game six in Golden State, this team ever since then has just not been able. It's come in spurts, but for the most part, they have not been able to close the door on these close, tight-knit games. I haven't seen it for like at least the last 5 or 6 months. And you bring up the point where, yeah, it's a broken record. Again and again and again, they just lose these games. And obviously, the injuries are a part of it. It just feels like we talk about the same things over and over. But I really hope, you know, guys, as a fan, I really hope that this offseason, I could care less about the plan at this point. Listen, I mean, there's always a chance something could happen, but it's highly likely they're going to be, the season likely is over in a couple weeks. Just whatever the case is, okay? But I really hope when the season is over that this team, number one, gets healthy. Obviously, number two, improve the talent, because it's clear running it back was not the smartest move. And we'd say it was going to be a risk either way, but they risked and it didn't pay off. But I really hope this year in general, from a mental point of view, this team, everybody included, looks at themselves in the mirror and says, what did we not do as a unit last year that we did this, that we didn't do this year that we did last year? What made us so good? What made us tough? And I get it, the conference got better, obviously, but there was something missing. I don't want to go point fingers on one guy, this or that, but clearly there has been something missing the entire year from this team where you go and you say, whether it was complacency that we were supposed to just automatically vault to the top because we did so good last year, or just that maybe the attention and the notoriety, the slim attention and notoriety that we got from the national media went to their heads, whatever the case may be. Hopefully this team goes into the offseason, puts the work in the training facility, gets shots up, but just in general, I just think comes back with a bigger, hungrier drive to get back to what they made them great from everybody. Sabonis, Fox, to the top down. But this team, and obviously there's going to have to be a lot of moving parts that need to be adjusted, and the talent could look way different for better or worse this time next year. But hopefully this team as a unit, the core, comes back next year and just says, let's go get after it again, and let's get back to what made us hungry, because this team don't have it right now, man. I feel bad for the fans, man. There was a lot of things that went into it, the injuries, whatnot, but I'll lay in the plan here. Whatever happens, happens. Just hope he can beat Portland and then go from there. But hopefully better days ahead, and hopefully more beams to be lit. But this year, you know, it's a work in progress, but not a good year.
Well, I think that's the key point. It's a work in progress. So, I mean, we know we're only in the third inning of our story. So, you know, I'm fine. I get it. Big picture. You know, I follow my own words. Seriously. It's just, damn, sometimes you get tired of seeing the same shit. It's like stepping in dog shit twice in a day. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what this feels like.
I hate to be that guy right now, but hell, man, it's better than winning 30 games a year. And by this time, you know, you're looking at lottery picks and what we could be.
Oh, yeah. I will take this any day over Tankathon. Hell, it's yeah. Just, you know, you get tired of the minor stupid mistakes every game. It's like, come on. So yeah, that's all. I think we deserve to be frustrated though.
Daly, let me ask you this real quick and I'll land the plane. I'm gonna ask you this, you go back to anybody. Okay. When they were up four, I think when they were up four, like a minute 20, minute 30 to go, did you really think you had any confidence they were gonna land the plane and win?
Like, you know what? I've been saying this. You guys know me. Every episode, every night, every time we do spaces, I always say this shit is 50-50. Every time they get me high, they bring me back down to earth real quick. And all it takes is a game or two. And sometimes all it takes is literally a quarter. So yeah, I was 50-50. I was like, yeah, they can pull it out or they'll shit the bed. I've learned not to expect anything from this team. This is a good team that could beat mediocre teams. This is a good team that every now and then can beat a great team and look like world beaters. But this is also a good team that shits the bed against, other good teams. You know, it's been up and down. That's the year.
It was 1 minute and 4 seconds when Sabonis turned that ball over. We were at four. 1 minute, 4 seconds. All you had to do was just slow your offense down, because I think it was like 14 left on the shot clock. He didn't have to make that throw. I mean, that like I said, I believe until the very end, but I said once he turned that ball over, it was game.
Daly, you said like two nights ago or last night, I think, when we lost to New Orleans, you would still take this team over last year's team in a 7-game series. I'm not going to debate you on that. But I just want to ask you this. When it comes to half-court offense, do you think this team is worse than last year's half-court offense?
No. I mean, I don't think it is. I think they're actually better. It's just everybody's good. Seriously, everybody's fucking good. And right now, we're missing Monk. Come on. This team, when they had Monk, there were times that they looked like world beaters. They looked like, you know, in a semi-contender. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this team is good. It's just they're missing Monk. And yeah, they've been really inconsistent this year, but I still would. I would take this team over last year's team. You? What about you, Keith?
I don't know. I think I would take, to be honest, I think I would take last year's team over this year's team just because if I can get in that 2-minute stretch, and I'm just talking about at the end of the game, if I can get into that 4-3 minute window, you know what I'm saying, where it's like 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left, and I can get like Malik Monk in an isolation situation, and oh hell, I don't even need Monk. Like, for the most part, just give the ball to Fox and get the hell out of the way. I don't know whether it's the team's keen on him or whatever. Like, obviously he's been banged up. He rolled the ankle against New Orleans, but like last year, like if you gave Fox the ball with like a 2-3 point lead to just say take us home, like he would have either done it. Or he would have died trying. But I just feel like whether maybe he's dealing with an injury or whatever, he struggled. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not the same Fox. It's not Mr. Clutch Player of the Year. Like, clearly it's not been his finest work. But damn, man, like, I just think last year's team, if you give me the last 4-3 minutes and we're close, I just feel like they're going to come out of that and win.
Yeah, but
or they're going to die trying.
The key word is last year, though, man.
I know.
And that's the thing. They've had a whole year to scout this team. There's a whole year's worth of footage of Fox on how to defend them. There's a whole year worth of the sets that this team plays and scouting them and seeing what works and what doesn't. Fucking Golden State gave everybody the blueprint on how to guard
dribble
handoffs and top locking everybody and breaking them up. So it's a whole year of everybody having a blueprint on how to beat this team.
Yeah. Well, fuck it.
But you know what? Keith, seriously, I'm not going to refute you and be like, yeah, well, no, this team is better than last year's team, period. No, if people feel that way and they think last year's team is better, so be it. I totally understand. The vibes are great. Last year's team is an equivalent to your first girlfriend. You never forget your first. You know what I mean? It's your first time doing everything. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You're in your bedroom alone. You're fantasizing about things. You're looking at Apollonia videos. You're like, gosh, why do I feel this way?
Next thing you know, you're outside with the boombox playing in the rain. You just miss the old times, man.
Yeah, man. And that's what it is. Last year's team was your first. You never forget your first after those 16 years. Drake
feelings.
Yeah, those, dude, those 16 years.
This has been a Drake year, man. No Drake bars, just Drake feelings. Fuck, man. I miss the beat.
Yeah, man. So that's all it is. We missed that first year. But anyways, all right. Thank you, Keith. We appreciate you. Ross, what's going on, man?
What up, everybody? Yeah, that was one for the record books. That was a good vintage loss. But you know, it is what it is. We were going to end up in the play-in one way or the other, and then it was going to be an uphill fight. One way or the other would have been really nice to just get the win, but it didn't happen. Kind of want to chime in on what you guys were talking about earlier with the refs and like us kind of struggling to close these games. I always see people taking one side or the other, and people say, you know, we had the game in hand. Why couldn't we just close it out? And then you have this other side of the people saying, you know, the refs like kind of screwed us, and it's completely both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. The frustrating part about it is when you do have the refs come into play and you really do feel like it's the difference between a win or loss in a 1-point game. And we've seen a couple 1-point games recently. And, you know, I know you guys don't want to hear about the refs, and I rarely vent about them, but when you look at the last, basically when these games really started counting, that Mavericks game, 33 free throws for the Mavericks, 12 for the Kings. Then you have the Knicks game where we were both playing physical, and then all of a sudden the Kings can't touch anybody, and they shoot 28 free throws, we shoot 12 free throws. Boston Celtics game, we know what happens. That Kobe Jones, that's a putback if he doesn't get hit in the face. Then SGA, the OKC game, that travel is huge. If he gets called for that travel and he had a little forearm push off, we get the ball and we're up with a minute left. And, you know, who knows if you win or not, but when you have a game that's a flip of a coin, you know, and SGA shoots 20 free throws in that game. And you're really going to tell me that SGA is that more aggressive going to the basket than Fox? And I honestly can't blame Fox for shooting a lot of these outside shots. I mean, tonight, even in the fourth quarter, the guy couldn't get to the free throw line and got hacked a couple times. It's just, it's really frustrating to see. I didn't feel like the fouls were super egregious in tonight's game, but with about 3 minutes left, both teams had shot about 11 or 12 free throws each. And then in the last 3 minutes, the Suns end up shooting another six. So it's like, if you're going to let them play physical, just call it that way the whole game. It's just frustrating when there's so many inconsistencies. And we talked about, yeah, the refs have been bad all year, but you know, it's kind of like they pick, you know, when to be bad, and you just want a little consistency from them. It's got to be really hard for a player and a coach to go out there and feel like you have to be a little bit better than just good enough to win. Because in a 1-point game, it's a huge difference if you don't get a couple calls that go your way. And I feel for Fox. He's been, you know, he's had an up and down year. Don't get me wrong. He like started out super hot, but that's got to feel tough for him when he's looking around his other buddies and he said, man, I made the all-star team and, you know, I did what I had to do to get my respect. And because I'm wearing this Sacramento jersey, here we go. I mean, can't buy a bucket. It's frustrating. But moving on from that, you guys were talking about the Malik Monk thing earlier and, you know, it's an excuse that Monk went down. Pretty sure 90% of the people on this app quit on the team as soon as that Wojnarowski report came out that he was down, and pretty much threw up the white flag and said, you know, that's it. Monk's the heart and soul of this team. There's no way we're winning without him. We rattle off two good wins. Everybody's back on board. Now we're like visibly missing Malik Monk, and we're back to shitting on this team after everybody decided that we were done because Malik Monk is so important to us. So it's just funny to me that people are so adamant that, you know, obviously Malik Monk's huge. I think Fox let, he gave the shine to Malik Monk. Fox was the fourth quarter king last year, and he's let Malik Monk be that guy. And so it's not really a big surprise that now the fourth quarter comes around and we're looking a little lost. And, you know, he was our clutch guy. And besides just being a clutch guy, he was another playmaker that could get to the basket. I mean, we've talked all year about what our wants and our needs is for this team, and it's another playmaker that gets the basket. And we lost our, you know, second, if not first, he might have even been better than Fox this year at getting the basket. And so we were already saying before that we needed another guy that can get to the basket, and then we lose Monk. I mean, what do you really expect to happen? You're look at this gauntlet of games that we've played the last since Monk's gone down. Played the Knicks, played the Celtics, OKC, Mavericks twice, you know, the Suns tonight. It's just been an absolutely brutal stretch. And surprisingly, the Kings have held their own, and then they've just kind of had this, you know, they've kind of crumpled a little when it counted. But this team didn't quit when Monk went down, and we're completely outmanned. We talked about it all the time. Look up and down the West. The Kings are the least talented roster in the top 10. You can't tell me any different. I don't care. When you take into account the 9 and 10 or whatever you want to call it, the Lakers and the Warriors, you know, the love that they're going to get from the refs and the greatness of Steph Curry, the Kings are the least talented team right now. And then you lose a guy like Monk and we're still having to fight. What do you guys really think was going to happen? I mean, we can hope in one hand, we can shit in the other and, you know, see which one fills up faster. But I respect the team for not quitting, and they've had some absolutely gut-wrenching losses, and they're still here, and I'm still here. I'm not quitting on this team. I knew it was going to be a tough year, even if we were healthy. Without making any big trades at the trade deadline, you know, once the OG and the Pascal thing fell through, it was the writing was on the wall that it was going to be tough for us to really make a deep playoff run. But we've said it a trillion times on this show. It's the second year. It's really hard to zoom out sometimes after games like this. But when you do zoom out and when we do get to the off season, no matter what happens in the postseason, you're going to look back and, you know, in my opinion, this is going to be a low point because this puts a lot of pressure on Monty right now. And, even if Atlanta's you know, pick doesn't convey, we still have this year's pick we could trade. We have a lot of young talent now. You have Davion on a restricted free agent contract who's playing his butt off. Even though I love him, we have Keon. He's a huge trade piece. We have guys. We have a Sasha that's an unproven guy. Trey Lyles is really good, but, you know, he could help a team out if you're upgrading for somebody in your starting lineup. So this one hurts. But it's not the final tale, and I expect them to, you know, fight their ass off in the playoffs. So not quitting on this team was never going to be easy, but just a tough one tonight. But, yeah, keep your heads up, my friends.
100%, Russ. Appreciate it, man. Julie, you know, I'm reading your tweets. I think you just admitted that you were the person that threw the chicken wing the other night.
No, but I did hear that person did get caught, so they're probably getting a lifetime ban from the arena. But I don't know. I missed what everyone. I came kind of late tonight. But going off like what Ross said with the refs, and it's just, I think I've talked to a lot of people, and we've said that we shouldn't have to rely on a last minute call from a ref to win our game. But God, does it suck when it doesn't go our way? And then we're going to get the 2-minute report tomorrow. It's going to tell everyone what we as Kings fans already know and just piss us off again when most of us have already gone through our 5 stages of grief the night prior. And I mean, at this point, we're just limping our way through the postseason, into the postseason. And yeah. And yeah, Ross was saying it's hard to zoom out. It's so hard to zoom out and be like, don't quit on this team. Again, a lot of us have already, this is nothing again compared to the, you know, 2 decades that we've all been sitting through it to. I don't know. I'm going through my 5 stages of grief right now. I'll be fine in the morning. Again, I'll see the Tumen Airport, probably get pissed off again, and then just see what happens on Sunday and where we're getting stuck. 8th, 9th, 10th, who knows?
Yeah, 100%. That's the way this year has been. We just have to accept whatever comes our way and not expect anything. What was the general mood like after the game? Was everyone just like, not necessarily in shock, but just upset or what?
It feels like everyone was pretty peeved. I get it. It tends to be what's been going on these last couple of games. We're just kind of getting pissed off, and then everyone just kind of seemed really defeated, kind of just beaten down, and I don't know. That's just how I'm feeling. And again, I think a lot of us have openly said this team has forced me to go through the five stages of grief much more rapidly.
Well, I feel like we do it every other week, honestly. That's how I feel. So, yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, especially after actually attending the game. I think that's amazing. You know, we still got a few more games to go. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully they don't do something like this again. I'm kind of getting tired of these performances at the very end of games, but it's still beautiful basketball to watch. And I'll take this any day over the vomit game era Kings. So, Julie, we appreciate you as always. Bye, Ree. Thanks for coming back, man.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on?
Unbreak my heart. Let the Kings win again. Undo this hurt that caused when you chucked all them threes and you gave up the lead. I'm in here kind of trying to catch a vibe right now. I've been trying to catch a vibe since last night. I've heard a lot of the speakers talking. I mean, you know how it is, Kings family. I mean, I've watched the Kings is like the main team that I watch. So it's like this, I've probably watched every game this season, pretty much. Maybe missed like two or three games, but you know, when it comes to Sacramento Kings TV reality show, man, I'm there. So it's like everything that we've seen this season is kind of unraveling, it seems like. And you know, as we're peeling back the layers, I'm hearing about refs. I'm hearing about players need to be better. I'm hearing about Monty. I'm hearing about the coach, Mike Brown. Like, even, I mean, you know, I understand it all. But it's like, just me personally, I'm not surprised. You know, I hate to be right sometimes. Like, you just hate when you don't want to be right. You want to be wrong, but you're right about something that feels so wrong. But it's like, this is who we are right now. This is our DNA. And we just got a long way to go. I mean, Daly, I heard a little bit what you said. I think you said, like, we're in the second or third inning right now. Yeah, I mean, like, our story is far from complete. Mike Brown's making comments like, I'm trying to catch a vibe, y'all. Mike Brown's making comments about, you know, this is a learning experience right now. This is just where we are. And we're going to learn. This is invaluable right now. We're going to learn so much from this. That is true. But it's just all every point that every speaker has hit on. It's like all adds up to like this big like mountain of frustration and like disappointment. And like, yeah, and it sucks. It really does suck. The good thing about it is our last game was against the Blazers, which we're just better than that team, top to bottom. So it should be a win. It should be. Let's hope so. But yeah, man, as far as the game tonight, It was really physical. The refs pretty much let them play. Both teams played really hard. I wouldn't even say it was an entertaining game, honestly. I don't think I was as entertained by that game as, you know, it seemed like it was, because both teams played so hard. It was just a weird game. I honestly didn't like the style of the reffing in this game, or the officiating. I think the style of officiating leaned towards the Suns, because they have that three-headed monster that we all know about. So their style, the three-headed monster, the way they play, they are hunting whistles. So it's like, when the refs let us play, yeah, we're going to play hard. But it's like, when you want to, and I mean, they did keep it even for the most part. Like, I usually will shit on the refs, but they did let us get away with a lot of non-calls, and they, as much as they let the Suns get away with calls, the difference is when they finally blew the whistle, when the refs finally decided to blow the whistle, it was in the Suns' favor, because those fouls would be soft as hell and they would be bogus as hell. Like, why would you call that there? Like, if you're trying to call an even fair game and, you know, both teams are doing the same type of foul, why are you calling those type of fouls for the Suns? And basically, I just said why, is because that three-headed monster, they're hunting fouls. Like that Devin Booker foul, that was the most bullshit foul I've ever seen. This fool tried to kick out his leg towards Davion and twisted his own damn ankle. He hurt himself trying to draw a foul. So I was like, that's some bullshit. Like, that shit was crazy to me, honestly. But the refs, I'm not going to blame the refs for this game. It's just, like I said, it's a sum of all things. Like, everything, that's, players need to be better. The coaches need to be better. Monty needs to make some moves. It's just everything is unraveling, and it's just, we can't run away from who we are. We are the sum of our habits, and this is where we ended up. Honestly, I think that a previous speaker mentioned the point where he think everything shifted. For me, that game was the Hornets game that we lost at home. Like, we started off the season trying to be like more defensive, and it was working for a while, but like, we really went away from that, because like, we went away from it in a way where we weren't consistent enough with it. So it's like, we can't turn our defense on and off and expect the refs to treat us fairly, because that's not our reputation. We're not known for that. So as we're trying to build an identity, and we have been trying to build a consistent identity, I'm not going to say we haven't been trying. Effort's been there, but it's like, we just don't have the DNA to be where we want to be right now. It's just not in us. Like, we don't have the team right now. And that Hornets game, I think that game was really where we're just like, we just lost ourselves. We got lost in the sauce after that one. Like that, and we had Herter and Monk in that game too. So it's like, that for me, that was the pivotal point in the season for me, where I seen like a drop off kind of, and then like, it was like an up and down roller coaster type thing, where like, it was, we had no type of consistency. We would have good moments here and there, but like, we just were, I don't know where, we were just lost in the sauce after that. We're not the same team as last year. We kind of talked about that last night. That's neither here nor there either. I mean, we could reminisce on that. It was really fun. But I think, honestly, in my heart, we got to move forward. We do have to move forward, because if we don't, then we're going to get left behind. So, I mean, what are you going to say? I'm trying to catch a vibe. I really didn't enjoy watching this game, because it was just a really weird game.
It was awful from the start, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
just really, I got so bad vibes from the start.
Yeah, it was bad. Daly, I've been trying to catch a vibe for two nights, man. I just couldn't. It's not there.
You like, might not catch one. You might not catch one, man. The season might end and you'll be left with zero vibe. Seriously.
But that's what I expect. See, like, when you keep it real with yourself, yeah, nothing surprises you. And it seems like that's what a lot of us are doing. It's just like we try to grab for things and try to look for reasoning. But it's like, it's the sum of everything. It's just the sum of everything. And like, I don't know, man. I think if at this point, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know. This could sound how it sounds. Honestly, I kind of don't even want to make the playoffs at this point. I just want to get this season over with. Like, honestly, like, let's just go to the off season. Let's get our rest. Let Sabonis heal his wounds because he get beat the fuck up all season. Let that man rest. Let him spend time with his family. Fox, same thing. This has been a long ass season. And like, with this play-in mess, like Elizabeth hit on a good point too. Like the reason for the play-ins is for LeBron. It's for the Stephs. It's for, you know, those that basically the entertainment, that TV money. Like we got to like, you know, because if it wasn't for the play-in tournament, the Kings could like slide in and like, you know, disrupt some things. And another previous speaker spoke to this. There is an anti, you know, Kings agenda for sure in the media and within the league, like for sure. Everybody knows that. Like all of us would knows that. And that's one of the things that's bringing us down. It's like I said, it's a sum of all things that is just bringing us down. And it's just, I'm tired. I think we're all tired. I am. I'm tired, man.
Yeah. You know, and you know what, man? I really don't think it's giving up on your team. It's just really just being tired and just wanting to move forward and putting this past us. And I totally get it. You know, and no, I love this team, but yeah, I kind of just want to see Keegan year three already. I want to see Davion year three already. Cause I think he's found a shot. He's finally comfortable with being effective on offense. I want to see that. I want to see Domas finally being confident to calm down and breathe during games and remember everything he learned over the summer with Doug Christie. I know he has a right hand. I know he has at least two more counters or two more go-to moves besides his fucking, you know, shoulder to the chest and then left hand hook. I know he has more than that. He just forgets. And I want to look forward to season three of Domas, maybe even hitting threes off the dribble. And then I want to see fucking De'Aaron Fox doing Jamal Murray shit, hitting turnaround fadeaway threes. You know, it just things like that. I want to see the improvement. So, and no, I don't think wanting the season to end means you're giving up on the team at all. I just think it's fair. It's been brutal.
Yeah, man. And it's, I'll just like for Domas, like we all love Domas. Like, it's just, and I kind of hit on this last night. It's like, and I always say this about him, like, he's an all around player. And sometimes with all around players, you're trying to do everything and then you forget about what the team needs. Like, Domas, sometimes we don't need your playmaking. Yeah, it's lovely, but like, sometimes we just need you to be aggressive and score. Or sometimes we need you to just focus on rebounds and just get the break started. You don't have to be the point guard, point forward, or point center all the time. Just like give it out to your ball handlers. Like be a more traditional big sometimes. I mean, that's little ticky-tack little things, but it's just like, look, it just all, it adds up. Like I said, like different thing. And we can go down the list with like De'Aaron. Like, you know, I think De'Aaron, I looked up his stats, but I don't have the exact numbers right now. I think he's only averaging one more point than he did last season, but he's basically shooting like four more threes. So it's like, would you take last season when he was taking less threes and then averaging one less point, or this season where it's one more point, but it's four more threes? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like little things add up. We miss Monk so much. Like, we need him. Hopefully we could keep him. But yeah, one thing is for sure. We need help. This team needs to be better, and we need somebody to come help us. Somebody, like anybody, please help me, help us.
Yeah, 100%, man. I truly feel like we're going to have two or three new players, and some of our longtime favorites, and by long time, I mean, you know, the past 2 years, are going to be traded. And, You know, and it's going to be a situation like Jason Williams for Mike Bibby. It's always going to be for the better. And I just hope people are prepared for that. And we're going to get our first 50 plus win season. And it's going to be the up and up. I swear to God, that's what's going to happen. And they said, and oh, damn it, I wish I bookmarked it or saved it, but there literally is a video. It's one of the practice scrums where Mike Brown says, yeah, we wanted to run it back for a second year to see what this core can do in the playoffs. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. I reference it all the time and I still have yet to find it, but you know, and I think that's totally fair. You want to see what continuity brings, and these players do know each other better. It's just a shame that, you know, we're dealing with a very serious injury. And by serious, I mean an important player being injured in Malik Monk. And we're going into the postseason, you know, literally hopping on one leg, as others have said before. So, yeah, it's tough, man. But Byree, thank you, man, for calling in. And, you know, we have one more regular season game to go. And you know, that's all we got to do is just go in neutral and not to expect anything, but hope for the best. That's it, right?
100.
All right. Thank you, man. Yeah, I'm going to cut it off right there, though. We could talk about the offseason all we want. And, you know, we'll definitely be having more talks about that in the coming weeks for sure. We appreciate everyone coming through. This is it. One last game and maybe another one, maybe a playoff series. Who knows? I still have faith. If anything, again, anything is better than what we've been through for the last 16 years. So don't forget to put that in perspective. Don't forget to stay neutral. Don't forget to zoom out. But yeah, I will admit, it was hard to zoom out today. I'm still a little pissed about tonight's result. Just speaking facts. So you guys are the best. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.